Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Okay, 2 Samuel 9. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not yet anyone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lo-debar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lo-debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Here is your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." Again he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord and the king commands his servant, so that his servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. Amen. The scriptures in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "So then while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of the faith." And this little passage here is talking in many ways, not many ways, but it's talking about the kindness of David. And probably during this time, David is lamenting over Jonathan. It was his best friend. He was more than a best friend in many ways. They were brothers, and they had actually taken that oath together. And so most likely, David is probably in his home, and a lot of good things are happening to him, but he's sad about that. He's sad about his best friend. And so he asks this question, "Is there anyone in Saul's home that I can show kindness to?" A very simple. And what that goes to, it goes to his inner disposition. In David's heart, David wanted to be a blessing to people. His disposition was to really release kindness to people around him, especially to those who had a meaningful impact in his life. Going back, you know, what Paul was saying, he says, you know, to all men, be good, be a blessing, do good things to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. And there's something about having that heart to really be able to be a blessing in that way. And so he's asking this question, and they find somebody who is Saul's servant, and Ziba. And Ziba, we'll read later on, and it's kind of a mixed story with this guy. But he comes to the Lord, to David, and he says, "There's one." And it seemed to be Mephibosheth was actually in hiding. So if you remember the story of Mephibosheth, when Saul was being routed and all these things were happening, the servant actually grabbed him when he was a young, basically not a baby, but a toddler, grabbed him and took off running, basically. But unfortunately, she dropped him. And so she dropped him, and we don't know exactly how it happens, but probably his legs broke. But the rest of the story, he can't walk. And so he's lame. So he's sent to someone's house. And part of that is to protect him from Ishbosheth, who was the other, who ended up being the king, you know, set up by the other ruler, and all this kind of stuff's happening. And so God had shown mercy on Mephibosheth in some way. He hid him from all the turmoil of all the different things that are going on. But in that regard, he leaves him out. And so he provides really an opportunity for kindness to be expressed in this regard. And it's a pretty amazing a story in this way. And so they find him. He brings him before. And David, in his incredible desire to show kindness to the house of Saul, especially in relation to Jonathan. So he comes, he falls on his face, he says, "Don't worry, you know, I'm not gonna kill you. Nothing bad like that is gonna happen to you." Because he's pretty much afraid for his life at this point. And he says, "No, because of your father, because of his kindness that was shown to him, I'm going to bless you." And he does something. And this is, you know, a little part. We talked just a little bit about generational transfer. Sunday, prayed for Pastor Nate, and we ordained him as, he was always a pastor, so I don't want you to get that. But now he's stepped into more of a formal role as a reverend. And so, I don't know what, probably in Hong Kong doesn't really mean much, but in the United States, the difference between a pastor and a reverend is a pastor works at a church, that's all fine, but a reverend or a minister actually can officially marry and bury people. Now that would be the gist of the idea. And so you can officially marry and bury Nate now, but in any case, but I talked about that he's fourth generation. A pastor on both sides. And so it's not so much, I don't want you so fixated on his title or whatnot, but it meant that his family passed down to him the faith and passed down a blessing in that regard. And it's quite a beautiful thing to see this kind of generational transfer, you know, taking place. And you could tell, Nate and, you know, for that matter, Matt as well, right? They're both very, very blessed, you know, people, not just with, the character of God. And you can see, you know, God's kindness and God's spirit and God's character, you know, all over these two guys, but God's blessed both of them with wonderful wives, you know, and beautiful children, and careers. And that's part of this generational transfer. And Jonathan, being a righteous man, we see that right away his son receives favor. Why? Did the son do anything? No. Literally nothing, because he can't do anything. But God shows him favor because of his father, Jonathan. And Jonathan had shown favor to David, and so there's a transfer that happens. And so Mephibosheth, according to the word of the Lord, actually becomes one of David's sons in all practical purposes. He sits and to get an idea of near ancient tradition, near Eastern tradition in this regard, primarily these seats were reserved primarily for big festivals and big events, and he had his own seat in the place of royalty, just like David's other sons did. And David totally took him in, and he restores him all the land. Now, this land now belonged to David. And part of it was because now he's the king, and so Saul is defeated, and so he receives that. But also, partly because he also married Michelle, who was Saul's daughter. And so there is a part of him that by right, and so by marriage right and by kingly right, this is his land. I'm sure it was a huge piece of land. And David, just his generosity, he gives all of that. He takes away his own claim that he gives all of that land to Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth didn't lead all that land. At the end of the day, he's lame. He doesn't really go anywhere, per se. But he gives him all this land. And he tells Ziba, and we know even Ziba was a very prosperous man. We know that because the scripture tells us they had 15 sons and 20 servants. And so he was quite a man of wealth and power and all these things himself. And he set Ziba in the house to take care of Mephibosheth. And, it's even in this day, your status and your stature is displayed through your entourage. I mean, you see that in Hollywood, you know, you see that with athletes, you see it all over. You know, someone walks in and they got 20 people behind them, and that meant, oh, this guy is somebody. And so David does that for Mephibosheth, gives the assignment to Ziba. I mean, this guy's got 15 sons. I mean, you know how wealthy you need to be to have 15 sons? You know, and 20 servants on top of that. I mean, he's worse than a Tai Tai. You know what I mean? Like in Hong Kong. Some of these families are funny, man. It's got like 2 kids and 5 helpers. I'm like, okay, you know, you basically do nothing at home. But in any case, and so, you know, these things happen, and he's just so much blessing this son of Jonathan, this generational transfer, you know, that happens in this way. And that's really what God's heart is. And just as a way of encouragement for us as we go on, what you do today, what you do these days, will echo for eternity. I know that's a quote from Gladiator, you know, the movie. But I love that quote because it's true. What you do today echoes for eternity. And think about this, brothers and sisters. The way that you live your life today, the way that you honor God today, will be passed down generationally to your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids in this regard. And we talk about, I mean, you're too young right now to have these conversations, but I'm getting to the age where this word is coming up more and more, which is legacy. What kind of legacy am I going to leave? You know, how am I going to live my life in this way? And how you live your life, and even some of you guys are not married, it's okay. That matters too. And what you do now and how you live your life and your integrity and the way you build your character and the way that you do business and you know, the way that you deal with your finances and the way that you're kind to people and all these things, there's reverberations that happen, particularly as it pertains to your children and your children's children. You know, last night, we've been, you know, so Pastor Rob is still here, and so last night was just a time with the house church leaders, and it was so fun. I mean, we actually prayed for over 3 hours, and the heart was just really to minister. And there was this couple that came up together. I'm not going to say their names, but there's a couple that came up together. And when Rob was praying, and other people that had words, it was just like, the word really was integrity. It says, you both are so integrous. And when you guys came together, that there was just really an anointing of that. And part of that word was, and you've created this atmosphere in your home, and it's going to pass down to your child. You know, they have a baby. And this child, and you know, he said some very wonderful things. I prophesied some wonderful things about their baby. And that's as a result of the way that you've lived your life before the Lord. And you know, it's like if I remember correctly, it's something to deal with her this child's acumen in business, and you know, the favor of God. I mean, so many wonderful things. And I was listening to that, and I was so overjoyed, because I mean, I was sensing the same thing, but more than that, it was this simple idea, man. You know, because of the way you live your life, your kids are going to overflow in that regard. I mean, it's going to be pretty amazing. And so just think about the legacy. Think about generational transfer. Remember when he describes himself, notice what he always says. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. God is not just a God of one generation. He's not just concerned about this generation. He's tri-generational. In other words, it's the father, the son, and the grandson. Right, it's always 3 generations. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so in that way, God's heart is to release generational transfer or generational blessing all throughout. And we see this. Even though, you know, Jonathan didn't really live that long, his legacy continues to live through Mephibosheth. And because of David's kindness, then we find out that Mephibosheth has a son, Micah. And then the seed, you know, the transfer continues to carry on through Jonathan's grandson now, who is Micah. And it's such a blessing that happens. Now, let me step back and just in the next few minutes, just explain maybe an erroneous teaching that you may have heard or something. So we talk about generational transfer that happens in the scriptures, that there's blessing that happens. Now, there's something also in the Bible where it talks about generational curses, okay? Now, let me be very clear on this. Let's say your dad and your mom and dad, you know, like my family, my grandparents, they're all Buddhists, very devout, you know, all that stuff. I am not punished for their sins. When we talk about generational curse or those kind of things, the Bible is very clear. You are only liable for your own personal sins. You are not liable for the sins of your parents or your grandparents, okay? When we talk about in a salvific way, I'm only liable for my sins. In the same way, when we talk about generational transfer, God has no grandchildren. And so you cannot be saved because your dad is saved. You guys understand what I'm saying? That principle operates the opposite way. But it's funny, we know that, yes, I cannot be saved because my father is saved. I need to make a personal decision myself, to walk with Jesus, okay? But at the same time, when we talk about generational curse, we seem to place on ourselves, oh, I am liable for my dad and my grandfather and my grandmother's sins. No, you're not liable for that in a salvific way. What that means is generational curse is that the life may be a little more difficult for you because you have all this sin and stuff going on, but that does not affect your standing with God. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so don't confuse those two things in that regard. Like I said, just like when we talk about generational blessing, it doesn't mean that because your dad's saved that you'll be saved. It just means that it'll be easier for you in that regard, and there'll be a blessing that flows. In the other regard, if there's generational curses or something that affect, you're not liable. I mean, the scriptures all throughout are very clear that you are only responsible for your own sins. And so, in that way, and you need to repent for your own sins. You may need to repent for the sins of your parents and whatnot, but that's what we call identificational repentance. And so what that does, it could be that there could be more difficulty that happens in your life generationally in that way. Like, if your dad was an alcoholic and your grandfather was an alcoholic and so on and so forth, that there may be a greater proclivity for you to also become an alcoholic. It doesn't mean it's a done deal, but there could be a greater proclivity or a greater attack of the enemy in that way, but you're not liable for that. So just to make it very clear, to understand the difference between curses and blessings in that way, okay? You guys get it? Very important. I've had so many people ask me that question, and so I always try to clear it up for them. Okay, so let's close our eyes, and let's go back to the blessing part. It's the blessing of God. And if you have parents that are believers and grandparents that are believers, and you're walking in that legacy, praise the Lord. If you're a first-generation Christian, praise the Lord. You are now starting this generational transfer in your family. And brothers and sisters, man, your kids are going to be affected. Your kids' kids, your grandkids are going to be affected. And there's so much grace that happens. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us about how we live our lives today. And let God minister to our hearts about what's happening right now. How you live your life today echoes for eternity. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us to live lives that are worthy of Him and that will bring blessing to our subsequent generations. It matters how you live today. It really does. There is a blessing that you can pass on, power that you can pass on, healing, anointing that you can pass on. Brothers and sisters, one of the greatest ways that you can love your family or your future family is how you live today. So let's pray. Let's ask God to give us strength for today. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer, through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray over our government and especially the CE elections that are coming up. Let's pray that God would put in office who he desires. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in the churches here. Let's lift up our friends ministering, Sports Service International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice in the Korean Church. And let's continue to pray for Hong Kong students. There was another one happened over the summer, actually quite sad. An ESF student fell off at Times Square, and this is becoming a major epidemic here in Hong Kong. Let's pray that God would release hope and protect the students here. Let's pray. Let's lift up our staff and let's ask God's hand to be with us and our families. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to release his anointing. I'll pray also today, we have the staff has their session with Pastor Rob, and pray for just real significant ministry to happen today. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and baristas. Let's pray for just a real spirit of kindness and friendliness as people would walk into church, and pray that people would feel welcomed, and these ministers would be the frontline warriors in that way. And so let's ask God's hand to be upon them. Pray for Holy Spirit to just really help them, and not only in fulfilling their duties, but just to really express the kindness of God. Let's pray for our worship sound and AV teams. Let's lift up our worship leaders and our sound ministers. Let's pray for our equipment as well. They've been
go a little wacky as of late. Let's ask God to just protect and pray for a real heart of worship and excellence in all that they do. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Opeak Road, Soho, Westfield, and TST. And let's pray for our meetings as we digest the whole weekend about hope and about being an apostolic community. Let's pray that discussions will be fruitful and that people will just be drawn closer to the Lord and to each other. Let's pray for our leaders and our hosts as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, again, thank you for the word. God, thank you for the reminder, Lord. You know, what we do, how we live our life today, God, it matters, Lord. And so help us to be wise, God, in the way that we spend our time, wise, Lord, in the way that we live before you, Father. God, that we would see blessings not only flow in our lives, God, Lord, in the lives of our kids and our kids' kids, Lord. God, just release that generational transfer, Lord. And we thank you. Let's watch over us the rest of this day, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow morning.